welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, we haven't a whole lot of time left, but I want to start this morning on a subject that I believe is so important to us as we begin 2018. And it's with 2018 in mind for me very much that I'm ministering this. It's the start of a series, I would imagine. Looking at the clock, it's going to be more than today. If you are listening on in the app, follow the sequence through. If you haven't got the church app yet, where you can hear every Sunday service, go to the PA desk and ask them how can you get the PA app. It can be done in 2 or 3 seconds if you have a phone. So I want to start that. 2018, as I've already felt led by the Spirit of God to urge you as individuals and us as a church, this is not 2017, this is 2018. When this is finished, you'll not see it again. Along with that, we have to understand, as the Word of God shows us, that God has purposed and planned and established certain things for 2018, for your life, for your family, for this church, and for every church that's believing in God and Christ as Savior. This year is a special year. This year is special because God has already established His plans and His purposes. Your life as a Christian is not to meander through 2018, not knowing where you're going and what you're doing. No, God's already given you victory in this year. He's already taken you into the dimensions that pleases Him and furthers His plan for your life, and therefore the church, and therefore the world. He's already done that. We receive that and embrace it as we believe the Word, live according to it, and allow God to enable us to be all that He's planned us to be. That sounds good and sounds great, but I remind you, I don't make a boast on His existence, but I remind you that you have an enemy. You have someone that's out to stop God's plan being done in your lives. Just like every unsaved person has the same enemy that's blocking their mind. The Bible says He blinds their minds lest they see and believe and are converted. Interesting word. He blinds their minds. And that enemy is there with you and me today, endeavoring to distract us from the high calling of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God for our lives, and not just in our domestic scene, but our lives as a part of this house. The Bible says the local church is the body of the Lord. The local church puts a face on Jesus Christ. The world gets an idea, and Bangor gets an idea of what Jesus Christ is like as they look at BCC. And whatever they see out of BCC is the image that they're getting of our God. It's only as every part of BCC functions according to the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus, does Bangor get an opportunity to see God in Christ in action. So 2018 is important. And I want to start this morning and talk to you about a sound mind. 2016, 2017, and 2018 especially, because we've just walked into it. It's important that you can walk through 2018 with a sound mind, because it's your mind that the enemy is after. If he can control your mind, he'll control you. And he's been controlling too many of us Christians for too long. He controlled us long enough before we gave our lives to Jesus. But the Bible says the God of this world blinds minds. Notice he said, he blinds minds. What? Lest they see and are believe and are converted. Now you say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. That doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. Because the same strategy is used by him to blind your mind to the provision that God in Christ has already provided for you in every area of life. And if your mind can't accept that and receive it, it's been blinded to the truth. And so I'm going to start this series this morning which I believe is going to be revelatory and unfold some truths to you and me that will enable us, if we're willing and faithful to do it, be, as God says we are, more than conquerors. We can do it. I want to turn you to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I'd like to think you know it well. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And it says this: "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Notice what God is speaking to us through Peter and what he is saying. God has not given to you and me, that's the born-again believer, he hasn't given it to anybody, but it's the born-again believer, he hasn't given us the spirit of fear. You know what the spirit of fear is? Another word for fear is anxiety. Faith cannot work without anxiety operating. If anxiety is walking around in your mind, in your life, in your circumstances, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. You can't give me one thing that justifies you and me to be anxious over it as a believer. Philippians 4, 6 to 8 says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Hallelujah. Be anxious for nothing. So, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Not to be anxious. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. I want to emphasize the word spirit first. God is a spirit. Satan is a spirit. And God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. God has given us his spirit of power. My, the power that belongs to God. The manifest power of God, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, the worlds were framed by the words of his mouth. That's power. To be able to say something and for it to come into being. Whoa, that's power. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. The spirit of love. God is a spirit, the Bible says. And God is love. We have been given God in our lives. He's indwelling the believer by the Holy Spirit, because God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is a triune God, and God has given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. Now, I want to put the emphasis just for a moment on the spirit. That's God at work in you and me. If you know nothing else about your anatomy or your makeup, physiologically or otherwise, know this, that which is being given to us is being given to us by God, and it is his. He is there. It's his spirit of power, his spirit of love, and his sound mind. Glory to God. So God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. That word sound, and I want to talk about a sound mind. That word sound, I think I started this towards the end of last year and never got any further than introducing it. That word sound mind is a word means disciplined in the Greek. It means a disciplined mind. God hasn't given us an undisciplined mind. He's given us the spirit of a sound mind, a disciplined mind. And that word, as I've said before, I think, comes from the word disciple. Discipline comes from that word disciple. Our ability to function with a disciplined mind is important. I want to take you to 2 Thessalonians, so as we can further develop this biblically. It's just back a little bit. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And Paul makes an amazing statement here. In verse 23, in his conclusion, and he says this: "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you," set you apart, sanctify you completely, "and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when he addresses us as a spirit, soul, and body, he's describing you and he's describing me. And God, Paul puts it in the divine order. I get a little disturbed when I see people write or people say body, soul, and spirit, because that is not true. They are what makes up you and me as a person in the creativity of God. But it is not true, because God is a spirit, and we were made, the Bible says, in the image and likeness of God. So we have been made in his image, and he is a spirit, and we are a spirit. We are a spirit. The Bible says, may your whole spirit, so we start by being a spirit. May your whole spirit, soul, we said, what's your soul? It would get a lot of answers. Your spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. So this is a description of you and I. You and I, firstly, are a spirit person. Whether you're saved or unsaved today, you're a spirit person. When God got hold of that piece of clay, which was to be Adam, and he breathed his life into him, he breathed his spirit into him. It was the breath of life that's in God, and it's that same breath that's in you and I. It's that same spirit of God that's in mankind, and by which God is able to do all that he has promised to do to those that believe. So the first thing that you and I are, we are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. Man is a tripartite being. He is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. I've just described you. You are first a spirit, and you have a soul. Soul, it's your mind, it's your will, and your emotions. Think about those three. So just as powerful, as important as the first three are, is man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. So is this one. You are living in a body, and you have a soul. And the soul is the mind, will, and emotions. Those three things are powerful. You have a mind. You can use it whichever way you choose to. You have a will. Oh, well, we all know about using our will. Thank God for Jesus to set the example to us in the garden. And he says, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but if it cannot, let not my will, but yours be done. How many of us are willing to say, okay, I don't want to do it, but I'll do it? Our will is a powerful thing. Our soul makes up our mind, our will, and our emotions. It's a very powerful. Our soul is very powerful. And so man then is a tripartite being, as a spirit, soul, and body. I'm saying all this because I want to narrow in on one thing. It's your mind. Man is spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. I think I need to go further than this right now. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. And he lives in a body. In other words, this body that you look at me in is just my house. It's just like you left home this morning, and that's just the house you live in. It's not you. Is that okay? It's not you. It's the house you live in. You're looking at my body, but it's not me. See, I'm a spirit, and you're a spirit, and I have a soul. Mind, will, and emotion. And both of those are in a body. So as I can get around and you can recognize me and I can fulfill what God's plan was for us humans being on the planet. But the real me and the real you is a spirit man who has a soul, a mind, will, and emotions. And so I want to come keep zeroing in on this mind. So to understand that, we need to understand this. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. Who has a soul? His spirit man. And he lives in a body. I want to help you understand that the soul of man is not related to the body of man. Do not get your soul mixed up with your brain. We're not talking about your brain, we're talking about your soul. And your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. That's what the Bible teaches us. Mind, will, and emotions. Not your brain. Your brain, you educate. And what you educate your brain with is important. But you educate your brain. I hope I'm not losing you here. I want to stress a point. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. And he lives in a body. The mind is where? In the soul. The mind is in the soul. The mind is not in the body. The mind is not in the body. And I'm going to show you that. This is really so exciting to see the Word of God. The God's Word is absolutely perfect in every detail. So you are a spirit. You have a soul, a mind, will, and emotion. And you live in a body. When the body dies, the brain dies because the brain is an organ of the body. Is that okay? When the body dies, your spirit and soul do not die. Your soul is alive. There's a tremendous passage in, we should turn there, in Lazarus and the who was a poor man and the rich man, remember? Turn with me to Luke 16. Luke 16. Let me read quickly. I'm reading from verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died, okay? He's dead. And he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The door to heaven wasn't opened yet. Christ hadn't come. The rich man also died. You should underline that. The rich man died, and he was buried. And being in torment in Hades, hell, certainly not in heaven, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise the Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers still on the earth. I have five brothers, and that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You know, so many people are here. They hear the gospel every day. Pay no attention to it. Think it's not important. But there's coming a day, just as there was for the rich man. We all die one day. And that's when the reality steps up to the mark. And we find out for once and for all if there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That's a truth. It's not a fearful thing, it's a truth. Lazarus made his choice. He went to Abraham's bosom. Today's heaven. The rich man, he didn't believe. He went to Hades. He went to hell. This is a powerful story given to us here. First of all, to understand the importance of us having a right relationship with God, the only way you can have it, through faith. I believe because I believe God, not because I understand. I believe because I believe this is the Word of God, and not because I necessarily understand. We walk by faith, the Bible says, and not by sight. It's a decision that we all make. The rich man made his and Lazarus made his. The point I want to make out of all of this was there was the rich man, and he was in Hades, and he was aware that he was in the wrong place. And he cried out, "Hey, Father Abraham, Father Abraham," he said, send Lazarus with some water. They can touch my tongue. Can't do that. Send it to my dad. I've got five brothers. He can't do that either. The point I'm making is this. The rich man was dead. Man is a tripartite being. He is a spirit. He has a soul. And he lives in a body. His body was dead. His body was in the grave. His brain is part of his body. His brain was in the grave. He was now in a place called Hades. And yet he was able to communicate. How was he doing it? Because his soul and your soul and my soul is not part of our body. It's part of our spirit, man. You are a spirit, and you have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. As a born-again believer, you and I can choose to do whatever we want to do. The mind is important. God says he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We have to bring our mind into line. A sound mind is a disciplined mind. A disciplined mind is a mind that can handle every situation and circumstance. A disciplined mind is a mind that is directed by the Word of God, because we bring this Word and we apply it to our thinking. You know, as I look back through my life, a Christian life, you know my biggest enemy? My biggest enemy is my mind. When a crisis hits you, your mind does somersaults. I'll tell you, your mind is the starting place of fear gripping your whole being from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. It starts in the mind. You start thinking about your issues, your circumstances, the problems, and all the rest of it that go along with it. And before long, your mind has paralyzed you. God says you've got to have a disciplined mind, one that puts a sentry at the door of the mind and will not let anything and everything in there. God says that he has not given us a spirit of anxiety, a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind, a disciplined mind. Hallelujah. A mind that functions according to this word. A mind that takes this word and receives it, and from that moment on sets themselves to start to live according to what it says and not what anything else says. Once we've got a mind that knows what the Word of God says, and another voice comes in saying something else contrary to what God says, we, if we have a sound mind, know what to do. Let me use a common situation, sickness and disease. You've got cancer. Wham! You've got cancer. What happens to the mind? What happens to the mind? Mind just goes into overtime. And soon, that whole sickness, not the cancer, but the result of fear, starts paralyzing your body. That's passed on to other people. And so it goes on. It's the mind. It's our most important part of our makeup as Christians. It's what we do with our mind. When the mind receives bad news, we don't accept it. Why? Because we have good news. We have the Word of God. We have the Word of God that says Jesus Christ has delivered us from the power of darkness. That's the kingdom of darkness. That's the power of Satan. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, the kingdom of God. He has taken us out of the kingdom of darkness where fear rules and fear reigns, and he has placed us into God's kingdom. Now, you and I won't know that that's even happened once you give your life to Jesus. When I gave my life to Jesus, I had no idea that happened. And for years and years, I lived without knowing what I know now, because my mind was still schooled by what it had been taught by the devil's society. And it was only slowly as I started to believe and understand that this word is a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. It's the word that makes me more than a conqueror, enables me to do all things through Christ. All things through Christ. All things through Christ. Wow. Once that starts to get into our thinking, then you don't quickly accept the circumstances. You speak the opposite, and people will say, you're crazy. You've got that. How could that's your circumstance? No, it's not. My circumstance is what God says about my circumstance. That's my circumstance. You hear us talk a lot, and the Bible talks about, it says, renew your mind. I'm just laying a foundation this morning. We're going to look at what the Bible says about how we can do this. I'm just laying a foundation so we understand where we go on from next time. I'm going to stop. Just saw the clock. Anyway, we'll follow on from there. But I want you to grasp this. Man is a spirit. You're a spirit. You have a soul. And it's part of your spirit, man. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Because that your spirit, man, and your soul is attached to your spirit, man, you should get excited over that. Your mind, will, and emotions are infected by powerful good. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is there in you, with you. And your soul belongs there. And God has planted you and me in a body. It has no higher value than your house. Then you go in, open the front door, go in and sit in your living room or go to the dining room to get a meal or go to bed to your bedroom, bath to the bathroom. It does nothing other than that. It doesn't write the checks. It doesn't heal you. It doesn't tell you how to do your job. It's just a house. Are you hearing me? And you and I are a spirit man. We have a soul. It's a mind, will, and emotions. And all this, God's put in this physical human body. The body is just like your house. It gets me around and people recognize who I am. Do you understand? That's it. Do you really understand? I don't mean with this. Has it got here yet? I am not a body. John Nabby is not the sum and total of his body. John Nabby now is not even the sum total of his educated brain. Are you hearing me? The skill that is developed and it's all up there enables me to implement. John Nabby is the product, hallelujah, of a spirit man because I'm born again. The Spirit of God now is there, and a soul, a mind, will, and emotion that's one with my spirit. Now, when it comes to the mind, when it comes to the will, and it comes to your emotions, they will only be affected by your spirit if they're really attached to it. But if they're attached to the world, if your soul, your mind, will, and emotions are attached to the world, you are directed by the world. You hear what I've just said? In other words, if you love this world and its ways more than God, I want to tell you now, you're in some trouble. And I suggest your priority is to start to do something about that. This world is not your home. You're just passing through. You're not kept by the power of this world. You're kept by the power of God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.